You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Here's your host, Sam Marcoux.
Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. This is Sam Marcoux. I am here in the green room of Tommy T's in Pleasanton once again, doing a little green room interview with my guest this week. You heard him at the top of the show, Mr. Mario Montez. How you doing, Mario?
I am doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing pretty damn good as well. Thank you for being here. I know we talked about doing this a couple weeks back, and stupid me booked time with you. And then I realized it was my daughter's birthday party.
That happens.
So, see, ladies and gentlemen, this is why you shouldn't drink and schedule things at the same time, because you end up double booking a three-year-old's birthday
party.
How was that party? The party was cool. So the problem with that day was that it was kind of raining off and on, and we had a bouncy house thing. We did pure Mexican. My daughter's a quarter Mexican, so we did pure Mexican.
You have a taco bar?
We did.
Keg?
We didn't do a keg, but we did have beer. And then we did the bouncy house outside and all that stuff, right? It was great. And it's cheap entertainment, except for it started raining. Now, the kids don't
care.
That's
right. It was a Sunday.
Yeah, the kids will just jump in the house. They don't give a shit about the rain. The parents all freak out because, like, you're going to catch pneumonia. We got to go inside.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's a small house that we were having this party at. So all of a sudden, we got, 15 kids and all their parents inside. Nope. We're all just staring at each other with nothing to do. So we just made the decision. You know what? Screw it. We're gonna risk these kids getting sick and just let them go nuts in the bouncy house.
The kids are bulletproof. They won't get sick.
Yeah,
you'll get sick.
It worked out. Oh well, yeah, I did. Yeah. I got sick because I was outside for longer than 3 hours, and I'm an old man now. So that
how many kids do you have?
I just have the one.
Wow,
that's enough.
I don't have any kids.
Yeah, well, that's why you're able to kind of be as good of a comic as you are right now.
Oh,
you don't have
stop
that
it.
Shit
you're
pulling
great.
Away from you. No, you really are. So Mario, Pete Munoz is in the house too. He's sitting here in the green room with us. You guys heard Pete Munoz on the last episode, and Pete and I were actually talking about it. One of the strangest gigs that Pete and I have got. We did a camping trip one time. We got hired to do comedy at a camping trip.
Yeah,
people literally show up with camping chairs and all that stuff.
Yeah,
you and I actually did a show last December. At a P.F. Chang's.
P.F. Chang's for Toys for Tots.
Toys for Tots, which is why I did it, because I was like, this is going to be cool.
Yeah,
it's Toys for Tots. The Marines are going to be there.
Exactly.
You're a former Marine yourself.
Yes.
Devil Dog, as you...
Yeah, Devil Dog. That's what
you
we
go.
Say.
You and Ellis Rodriguez. So we were doing this show, but it wasn't like a stage or a private room or anything like that. It was actually in the middle of the restaurant.
That was weird. I thought it would be in a banquet room or something.
Yeah.
And it was like, they kind of like blocked it off. And at the end of the bar, and it was like by the kitchen, and they packed a bunch of people sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
What was there? It was like 40 people?
It was about 50 people, yeah.
Yeah, and then they put us in the corner, and the speaker was like in front of my foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was a great gig. It was a great gig.
It was a great gig, but you can come in, Danny.
Who was it?
Kimberly.
Kimble? Yeah.
Kimberly Ingalls.
Yeah.
Yeah, she booked us for that.
Kimberly
Shout out to her.
Nice lady, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was definitely a strange vibe because people are eating their dinner and... I'm literally on their table talking to them and trying not to spit into their food.
Because I'm a spitter. That and the people that could see you that weren't a part of the show.
Are wondering what the hell's going on.
Yeah, it was weird. But it was, I'd never been there. It's a nice Chinese restaurant,
I
guess.
Yeah, nice little Chinese restaurant. So for people that don't know Mario, Mario's an incredible comic. He's been tearing it up. How long have you been doing comedy now?
I got on stage here at Tommy T's in 2008.
Okay. Now, you used to work here, right?
Yeah, 2006. I came on when they opened the club, and I needed a second job at night, and I was working in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Working on the line with the guys, and wanting to do comedy. I've wanted to do this my whole life, and that's why I took the job, because it's like, oh, I'm living in Pleasanton.
You're in the area.
Yeah, this is going to be great. And so it took me about 2 years working here. It took me a long time, 30 years to get up on stage. But there was a guy that used to run the open mic, a guy named Ed Tracy.
Yeah, Ed,
And he knew that I wanted to do this, and he prodded me, and the guys in the kitchen, they would tell me in Spanish, ¿por qué están aquí, no están allá en el stage,
Naturally.
Yeah, and because we used to have a great time in here, and then I just went and did it, and here at Tommy T's, they do it as a competition.
Sure.
So it was really cool to start getting in, they do like a top five, and they let the winner win some money, won a couple times, but I started doing weekends, eventually. I started doing showcases and then hosting on the weekend for, like Debbie Gutierrez.
Yeah. I mean, you're pretty prolific here even to this day in 2016.
So this is my home club.
It's my home club as well.
Yeah.
They've always treated me really well here. This is why I'm able to do the podcast in their green room.
Yeah, they give you I never take liberties, but they're very generous with what they give. Guys like you, me, Kabir.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're really good to all of us. Now, you have... Bobbo Phillips, who actually, speaking of Tommy T's, Bobbo used to do a lot of time here. He runs shows in different places. And Bobo gave me a nickname about a year ago. I was doing a room called Caps.
Yeah,
and,
in Brentwood?
In Brentwood. It's a fantastic room. Have you done that room yet?
No, no. A couple people made a phone call for me.
Yeah, I would definitely get in. It's a fun room. They That's come right to here. Laugh. It's a great place to do comedy. Pete Munoz is here. He's done it there, too. And I was doing a weekend there, and the first night, Friday night, the crowd was a little rough. They just weren't really responding. And it was my turn to go up. I was featuring for, actually, Kabir Singh. And I pretty much just told them that they're going to laugh at me, and they don't really have a choice. So Bobo gave me this nickname of the Enforcer of Comedy, which I thought was an awesome nickname.
Yeah.
And so I've been using that because it's kind of a cool nickname.
No,
and
that
they
is
laugh.
Good because you're really good. You're one of those guys that I always admire how people that can speak very fast, angry, and quick, you know,
right.
Because I don't think I'm that way. And I've watched you perform a few times, and you have that, you know, it's your
you
whole
got a lot of
down.
Anger, that's true.
You know, yeah, you got the beard, the glasses, you know, it just works for you. That's a good nickname,
yeah,
the Enforcer.
And I thought for a while, like the Enforcer's a really cool nickname. And then I met you, and you are the Butcher.
The Butcher.
Mario the Butcher Montez. And I was like, motherfucker's got a better nickname than
well,
I
you
do.
Know, that's how everybody knows me outside of comedy for the past 20 years, is people, oh, this is Mario the Butcher. This is Mario the Butcher, mm-hmm. right? And, I had never thought to try to use that name since I've been performing, but it was Tommy Thomas and Tony Roberts
okay.
one night after we were getting paid, we were in the office, and Tommy's like, you know, hey, bro, you know, you need to have a nickname, you know. He's always giving me advice,
yeah,
you know,
advice.
And what am I going to tell him, you know. And I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's, yeah, because that way people will remember you, bro, because you're a big guy. But, you know, Mario Montez are not going to remember that. You need to be like Mario the Butcher, you know?
I think he might be right there.
And then Tony's like, yeah, you know, that would work for you. And so I started floating it out there a little bit. And
I think it's cool as well.
I'm doing it on my new business cards.
Mario the Butcher Montez, yeah. Or the Butcher Mario Montez. What do you like better?
I think just Mario the Butcher.
Just you're going to drop Montez and just go Mario
yeah,
the
Mario
Butcher?
Yeah, Mario the Butcher. Because, you know, people would remember it, you know.
Oh, they absolutely would.
I mean, that's part of it. And that's how people know me, you know, outside of comedy.
Yeah.
I even got out of a ticket one time in Danville. Because the cop's wife saw I was working at this place called Andronico's.
Okay.
And he pulled me over. I was trying to get to work. I was running late. And when he saw my shirt and Mario, he goes, Mario the Butcher?
Oh,
oh
no
my
shit.
Wife loves you, you know?
Wow.
And he's like, hey, man, just keep it under 45. Let me go. And that's how they know me, Mario the Butcher.
You're listening to a man who escaped. He fought the law, and the law won, ladies and gentlemen.
In Danville.
Mario the Butcher in Danville.
That's right.
Of all places.
Yeah.
They got to be scared of you in Danville. How tall are you? About 6'3"?
6 foot.
Really?
72 inches. I've been doing some, I had some knee surgery, so I've been weighed and measured and all that. So found out my weight, 318, 72 inches.
Yeah, you seem bigger to me than that in terms
of height.
I thought
I was bigger. Actually, you know, when I used to drink, I remember I was 387 pounds. I was
wow.
working here in the kitchen.
No,
yeah.
Wow. So just stopping the drinking actually cut your weight.
Yeah. Then I started to gain weight because I quit smoking cigarettes.
And you're eating.
So I was about a year ago, year and a half ago, I was 337.
Wow.
And so I cut out a lot of good stuff, man.
And that's the worst part about having to eat well is that food just tastes good.
I love
it?
Food, man. Yeah. You know, and but. I'm 50. I'm 50 years old now.
Congratulations.
I made it. Yeah. You got to shrink.
Yeah.
You know, you do have to shrink. So my doctor and my girl, we're on this thing where 7 pounds a month for this year, you know, because it's true. Because I made it to 50. I want to make it to 60.
Yeah.
You know, or at least 51.
Now, was your goal, I mean, the comic lifestyle, and you touched on a little bit about how you used to drink and smoke, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But is your goal... Not your goal, but the comedy lifestyle. We do this at night,
yeah.
Right? It's not really conducive to sleeping well. It's not conducive to the rest of what you're doing with regards to you know, family life and a day
yeah.
job if you happen to have that. How is the struggle to lose weight with this lifestyle? Now you don't drink anymore.
Don't drink anymore. You know, you can eat all day, right?
Yeah.
You just got to eat good stuff. Not just fruits. You got to eat vegetables.
How do you do that at a comedy? I find it so hard when you're in a bar or a comedy club all night and it's fried food and French fries and
force myself. I'm fortunate enough to get booked on a lot of weekend shows,
yeah.
right? So that can be anywhere from 4 to 6 shows for a weekend,
yeah.
And I'd say out of, say, 3 nights, maybe I'll get something to eat, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I just force myself not to. And I really like to get some chicken strips or a burger, you know. But I...
get the salad instead.
No, I don't get anything. I just keep drinking water.
Yeah.
You know? Because the thing is, you know, I'm serious about losing weight, you know. That's the thing. For the first time in my life, I'm serious about being healthy. But, you know, if you really want to do something, you know, I don't care who you are, you can do it. You know what I mean? If I can quit drinking, quit smoking cigarettes, nobody can quit that. Well, I did it, you know. So now I work on my weight. I started walking again. I recently had knee surgery. So exercise and don't eat crap. I cut out sodas, and I love soda, man.
Soda. I was never – well, as a kid, I was a big fan of soda. I'm not a big fan of soda now. I'll drink it.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then you just kind of need that. But at least for me, I'm drinking – like, what am I drinking now? I'm actually not drinking myself right now. You're rubbing off on me. I'm drinking Rockstar now, which is probably – I'd be
better
off
good?
Drinking a beer. No. I mean, they're not good for you. It's basically soda with a
I'm allergic to those.
Are you?
Those Red Bulls and all that. I'll go to the emergency room. Happened in 2003. I had a Red Bull, and I thought I was having a stroke.
Oh.
So now they got Monsters and Rockstars and all this, and they smell great, but I can't have them.
Yeah, I'm allergic to mushrooms.
Really?
Actually, yeah, they cause me to hallucinate. No, but speaking of the drinking thing, so the show is called Predictably Drunk. The tagline: smart people talking about stupid things, which is what we're doing right now. You know, I enjoy drinking. I enjoy having a beer. I enjoy, you know, Jack and Coke. I enjoy that type of. I enjoy, you know, just having it in my hand. It's kind of fun. But you used to be that way. You used to drink. You don't drink anymore.
No, I was a drinker. That was my thing. I drank a lot.
You're a social drinker, or just drinking all the time?
From 2003 to 2010, I was hungover every day.
Abel Jaramillo in the house.
Abel. So,
seven years of a hangover?
Yeah.
Oof.
I mean, I know that. And nothing to brag about, but that's how I drank.
Yeah.
You know, I was just, I was that guy. No, I'm good, man. What do you call it? But being around it doesn't bother me. You know, what do you call it? People drink around me all the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I find it hard.
I minister, you know, since I moved out of Oakland, but I used to minister to homeless addicts.
Yeah.
You know, the street drunks. And, I mean, you know.
The rough lifestyle and shit.
Yeah,
like that.
You know, that shit don't bother me. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, have like four for me.
Like no desire at all? Like there's
no cravings.
Tinge of like, man, just one sip of whatever.
No,
like
you
that.
Know, what was that? I always think it was at Rancho with Kabir, and they had a bottle of Crown Apple.
Oh,
have you seen that shit?
Yeah, that's been there kind of.
And I like smelled it, you know, because I'd never seen it. That wasn't around when I drank.
Yeah, no.
And I'm like, what the fuck is this, right? And I smelled it. Oh, it smells like apples
smells
and Crown,
good.
You know? And Jeremy Curry was like, holy shit, it doesn't bother you, you know? And no, it doesn't, man, because I didn't do all this shit to be in prison.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I know cats who are sober, they're afraid to wear a fucking cologne, and they can't watch certain TV shows, and they can't go by bars. You know, fuck that, man.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't drink. I can do everything else, you know? Comedy, work, living, you know what I mean? But I can't get high, can't get drunk.
Yeah, you're listening to Mario the Butcher here on the air. We're just talking about his sober lifestyle now. You've been clean and sober for a little over 5 years now?
Yeah, a couple weeks. It'll be 5.5 years.
So how many days? Do you know to the day?
You know, I check it on Google. So like 2 nights ago, it was 1,987 days.
Wow. That's insane.
I don't keep it. See, another thing, I don't keep track.
Yeah.
You know, what am I? Like a guy in prison, you know, marking the days.
Because we do, if you guys haven't, you know, follow Mario the Butcher Montez on Facebook. He's actually got a lot of funny stuff to say on there. But I do see the count, you know, because we're friends.
I always got to Google that shit.
Yeah, oh, do you?
Yeah.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. He's not on top of the dates. He's cheating like the rest of us.
But, you know, I got a lot of people that follow me on Facebook who were either in rehab with me or taught me. And they really like my transparency, you know, and
I think that's refreshing.
And I think, and I really do it for them, you know.
Yeah,
I'm not one of those guys like, oh, you people drink too much, and I don't give a fuck. You
judging
know,
others,
I can't. Drink too much.
And now, how and you know, you said something that's right there too, because I mean, two beers for me might be different from two beers for Pete or whatever the case may be. Everyone's got their own little different tolerance, and
yeah,
I know what they can handle, what they can't handle. What was your drink of choice back in the day, though?
Like, did you Cuervo have Gold, Jack Daniels, and Bud Light.
Together? Like, you would have a couple shots? And
yeah, you know, I always had that on hand.
Oh, wow.
That's when everything was good.
When, like fun.
Eventually, it catches up with you. In 2010, I was unemployed and then eventually homeless before I went to rehab. So the money was tight. So then from going from, like, the Jack Daniels and the Cuervo, I went to Taka Vodka. Wow. Yeah, in the squeezable plastic bottle.
Ladies and gentlemen, that you know what? You're right. You need to stop drinking. Because if you're still like, look, I'm going to still drink, and it's going to be the plastic bottle shit.
Yeah, that was good shit.
You made the right decision.
You get a fifth for like $7. You know, the Koreans here in town, they love me. You know, matter of fact, there's a liquor store in Pleasanton called Perry's Liquors.
Yeah.
These fuckers are still looking for me because I was such a great customer, you know? I kept them up. I put their kids to school. I financed their jihad, right? and they're like, what did happen to Mario? You know, because I never went back and say, hey, guys, I got some. Yeah. Dude, I was there twice a day, you know, paid cash. These guys used to bounce for cigarettes.
Wow.
Who do you know some Middle East guys that give you anything free, right? Nah. They used to bounce for my cigarettes because I was such a great customer. And then I just stopped going, you know, and then eventually John Leguizamo says addiction is a gateway drug to Jesus, you know. So I ended up at a Christian rehab for 10 months and fixed myself and then came back August 8th, 2011 here. I was still in rehab, but I did an open mic here. Matter of fact, Pete was here. Joe Corzo was the host.
Joe Corzo, shout out to
and,
Joe.
And it was the first time up on stage in about a year and a half. And after that, dude, I ran into Kabir Singh, and he's like, you know, wow, you got better, and put me on a Cobb show, and that Cobb show, we put me on a showcase here, and then he put me on a Cobb show, and then I just met everybody, that we all know.
Yeah.
Stroy, Jabari, Lyle, Kiko, right? Everybody that has a room, that opened it up to me.
For those that don't know, that aren't from the Bay Area, not in the comedy scene, Cobb's Comedy Club is one of the preeminent comedy clubs in the Bay Area. Them and the Punchline, as well as Tommy T's here in the East Bay, and Rooster Teeth Feathers down in Sunnyvale, are basically kind of the crown jewels of comedy here, as well as the San Jose Improv. I shouldn't leave my hometown club
beautiful
out.
Club.
Yeah, I mean, so getting to Cobb's is a big deal when you're a comic here in the Bay Area. If you can get on the club there, it's kind of like going to the World Series if you're a baseball player.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of one of those clubs.
It's a beautiful club, and the talent that goes there, I'm just, you know, honored and humbled to be even to use that stage because there's so many great comedians that use that that mic that we get to use.
You mentioned you were homeless for a while.
Yeah.
What is that experience like? Because if I'm out of my house for more than 5 hours, I get nervous.
Well, you know, as long as you're drunk, it's not too bad. The worst part about being homeless that I found, I was only homeless for like 3 weeks.
That's a long ass time.
Yeah, in the mean streets of Pleasanton, mind you. But the worst part for me was 5 p.m. because that's when I'd see people going home.
Oh yeah, getting off work. Yeah, that's gotta be tough.
Yeah,
I think
so
about that.
I kind of, you know, just want. I was lost. I was fucked up, man. Fucked up like a soup sandwich. And but somebody that was looking for me took me to this place in Oakland called City.
Was it Perry's Liquors? They were looking for it.
I never owed them any money. You know, I could have went and got a job there probably. I'd have been the drunk sweeping the front. You know, every liquor store has one. I'd have been that guy. But no, man, I went and got into rehab and, you know, fucking changed.
Oh, man, it seemed for the better, too. I mean, I met you during a time here where you've been clean and sober, and I don't think that's going away. But you're a fantastic comic.
Oh, thank you.
You know,
man.
You know, you never know when you meet somebody for the first time. You kind of go, okay, you know, we have a thing called bringers in comedy, which I used to be. I'm sure you were at some point, too. And when you meet somebody new for the first time, whether they're, you know, older than you, younger than you, you don't know who they are until you see them on stage. And the first time I saw you on stage, now, obviously, you've been doing comedy longer than I have. I know that now. But at the time, as far as I was concerned, you were a rookie. You know, I hadn't met you yet. And I was like, holy smokes, this guy's pretty damn good. Mario's one of those guys, if you go to a comedy club a lot, you kind of like make people stand up and take notice of who you are on stage. You got a great presence about you. You got good, funny jokes. You got a lot of life experience to pull from. And that's kind of why we're talking about you about a lot of stuff today. Former Marine. I had Ellis Rodriguez on here, also former Marine. What were you like doing that? Did you have all the
in the Marines?
Yeah, did you have the ID 10 tango test?
I was a smart ass my whole life. And my mouth has gotten me into a lot of trouble.
Did you get in trouble in the military?
Yeah, they nicknamed me Picasso because when you get on somebody's shit list, they give you these shit details, and a lot of them is like painting rocks.
Oh, no
kidding. Painting garbage cans.
Why would you need to paint a rock? Is it just busy work?
The military loves their rocks painted. I don't know why. The armies are white. The Marine Corps are red.
Oh, they got to be red rocks.
Yeah, and it'll be like there'll be a garbage can, a shit can as we call them, a little gravel, and then rocks, big rocks that surround it. So you paint the garbage can, you paint the rocks. You paint the tree about 3 feet high from the ground, paint the curbs, a lot of red paint, and red. It's busy work. And it's if you get on somebody's shit list, you know, instead of being off Saturday.
Couldn't you just put the paint in the garbage can and then drop the rocks in the garbage can and get them?
No. You got to paint it. It all has a purpose. It's all a bunch of bullshit. But you know, I would get caught imitating people.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was this staff sergeant I could do, Staff Sergeant Shaw, and I just thought he was funny, and he was a really cool guy, and. You know, you make fun of somebody that has rank. I mean, it's disrespectful, really.
Yeah.
So you just draw shit details, you know. So, but that was back in the 80s, man. There was nothing going on. We weren't at war or anything.
So Ellis was... So you had time.
Yeah.
You had time to paint some rocks.
You get off at 4:30. It was a different corps than it is now.
So Ellis was saying that, you know, they had all kinds of... They would just mess with new recruits, with like the ID-10 Tango form, the idiot form.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that in a long time. I forgot about that.
I had to look up, though. He said he got E-Tool certified. And he didn't explain to me on the air what E-Tool certified
was.
That's
the little thing that the shovel that looks like that.
It looked like they just beat the crap out of you. Is that getting E-Tool certified?
Well, what do you call it? I guess depends on your unit.
Okay.
The one
I saw on YouTube looks like E-Tool certified means you get beat up by your entire unit.
Well, that's what they call it now. These guys do a lot of hazing now.
Yeah.
These young Marines. They're pretty hard. You know, these guys, they go in now, you're going to go to fucking war.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
yeah.
We were training to fight the Soviets. You know what I mean? These kids now, man, they're going to go. So they're a little more hardcore now.
Yeah.
And Ellis said he went in 91?
No, he went in 99. He went in 99.
Yeah, 99. Yeah. Fuck, 99. Shit, I got out in 88.
So he went in 99, and basically even then, I mean, it was kind of the old world versus the new world. I mean, September 11th is basically the new guard.
Yeah.
And so he did a four-year stint, and he had 2 years of probably kind of regular, I'm going to say regular detail. I've never been in the military, so I don't want to disrespect anybody with that. But after 9/11, he went and he did some stints overseas. I mean,
yeah, I think Kirk was, Kirk McHenry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met them both here.
Good comics.
Yeah, they're great guys, man. Dude,
good comics.
Those guys are really good guys. You know, both have given me so much advice on my comedy, man, and I take it. You know, everybody's got something to give you, two cents. But if those guys come up and tell me something, I listen. But yeah, they, I forget how older I am than these cats. Dude, Ellis was in Desert Storm, and I think Kirk was in Desert Storm, too.
Those
guys are different from these kids now.
Yeah.
I have a cousin, Jaime, who just got out after, like, almost 20 years or something, you know, and he tells me how it is. And I have cousins who just went in now the last couple of years, and it's a different core now, man.
No, I think I'll fight for the extra 4 minutes of stage time as opposed to what those guys got to go through. That's crazy over there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if anything... like my job, I was an 0481, which is it's a supply unit, you know.
Okay.
Very important, but it's not the most, you know, high-speed, romantic job, you know. I'm a sniper. You get a lot of that guy. Marine I meet now that was in the Corps, they were all snipers. You know, who the fuck was in the rear with me lifting them crates, you know what I mean?
Who was delivering the toilet paper?
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Letters. We used to have letters. Now these guys got computers and email.
Wow.
But what I took out of the Marines, you know, you hate it when you're in.
Yeah.
You know, fuck these guys, you know, fuck the apple or eat the apple, fuck the Corps, all these stupid sayings, right? But when you get out, you're fanatic about loving the Marine Corps, you know?
Well, I would think part of this because you fucking survived, man. Like, you got out of that shit and you're going to go live the rest of your life and have to worry about, you know, getting on a plane.
Well, it teaches you how to get up and go to work.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing. Or just how to take care of business. It doesn't, you know... You either will be in a land somewhere where you see how fucked up it is, so you really appreciate the country you live in.
Right.
Or, you know, getting up at 8 o'clock to go to a job at 9, that's nothing.
Right.
You know, to work 8 hours, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
unless you're paying rocks. So it does, if you do that
for X amount of years, you know, being in the military, any branch, I think, not just the Corps, but any branch, you know, you put up with all that stuff and you take care of business, you get out in the civilian world, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know, not to say that, you know, well, we're better than these civilians. No, fuck that. You know, what do you call it? Military isn't for everybody. I wish I would have went to college, to be honest.
It's almost like practicing harder than you play the game so that the game is easier to play. I mean, sounds like you got a lot of that life experience in terms of doing the hard shit work, and then when you come to civilian life, it's kind of like, again, not
that
so hard.
And also dealing with people from other races.
Yeah. Okay.
I never had to hang up with anybody because of their color.
Yeah.
You know, in the Marine Corps, they tell you, you know, there's only one color, or two colors, light green and dark green.
Okay.
Unless you're Latino, then it was like you're Verde, right? But, you know, you don't get hung up on a lot of things that people get hung up on, right. You know. Yeah. Color being one of them, at least for me.
Yeah.
You know, I had a good experience.
Good. Well, we're going to have a good experience tonight. We're going to be storming the stage here at Tommy T's here in a little bit for the 420 joke out or whatever the hell we're calling this thing.
Yeah. How many comics are on the show?
I believe we're going to have 200 people in the audience, and about 150 of them were given stage time tonight. So
that's awesome.
It's going to be choose your best comic and take them home tonight night.
But, you know, that's Kabir, man. Kabir will give you a guest set.
Kabir gives
everybody. He's a generous dude.
It's one of the best things about Kabir. It's also, I would think, on some level, it's almost frustrating because if he could work on one thing, it would be to tell people no.
Yeah.
You know? And he doesn't want to do that. He wants to see everybody come up.
Yeah. You know, that roast that we had. We had a roast here at Tommy T's a few months ago. And
I feel like I should apologize to you about
no,
that.
No, it was a roast, dude. What do you call it? If nobody had anything to say about me, I would be a little embarrassed.
That's how I felt. There was only like one joke about me. I'm like, I got to get my name out there a little bit more.
Yeah, well, I didn't really know everybody like I've known them now. But that group picture we took on the stage, I love that picture because that's kind of like Kabir's kind of helped all of us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of him, we've gotten to do venues that we might not cobs.
Yeah, I mean,
dude, I've done cobs like 20 something times.
A lot of the places that I've done comedy are directly related to him, and a lot of the contacts that I've made where I get booked now are directly because of him introducing me and basically putting his name on the line and me going out and proving it, hopefully. So yeah, no, I owe a lot to him in terms of that. I know you do too. But this isn't about Kabir. Fuck Kabir. He's
no, he's a dirty fucking Indian and he drinks too much. Fuck this guy.
Yeah,
we need an intervention. That's what we should do tonight. Have an intervention for Kabir. He's always hitting me. Hey, do you think I need to go to rehab?
Yeah,
well, buddy, no, not really.
But you know, he doesn't think he needs to go for alcohol. He's thinking there's a gig involved where he can get paid to talk to everybody.
Gambling rehab.
He's trying to learn trade secrets on how to hide his shit even more from the people that did it best. That's what he's trying to do. You got to know Kabir well enough to know what he's up to.
He's got all kinds of shit. I remember one time I was going to take a picture with me, him, and Jeremy. Where were we at? I think Rancho or somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh no! Don't take the picture. We're not supposed to be here. I'm like, what kind of fucking lies you guys?
Yeah, he told somebody he was going to church.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways,
Jeremy with the wife. Kabir with who knows when, right?
Well, Mario, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, brother.
What do you got coming up over the next couple of weeks? You got any fun
shows? I got a big Bay Area tour. I got the Huddle in Fremont.
Yep.
I've got what's
going to be on a Sunday night, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
The 9th, that'll be the 1st, May 9th, I'll be at the Swinging Door with Kevin Wong.
Okay.
And then I got two cool musical shows. I'm opening for this group from Texas called the Sisters Morales.
Okay.
It's at the Fox Theater in Redwood City.
Oh, nice.
And then May 22nd, I'm at this Chicano Pride thing with Little Joe and La Familia.
I was not invited to that.
No, I was, you know, the funny thing, Lil Joe was like my drinking music, you know, so I finally get to meet this guy. It's going to be great. The thing with the... in Redwood City, that kind of grew out of a gig I had in Fairfield. I was on this red carpet gala thing. They have this fundraiser a couple months ago. And that kind of stemmed from working without profanity. Some people have caught me. You know, I love to cuss, but
it's so much fucking fun to cuss.
But I also like to work without profanity sometimes because it makes me work a little harder. You know, I pretend I'm on TV.
Pete Munoz in the room trying to act like he's not in the room, just running over shit. You could just say, get the hell out of the way.
Bye, coach. He's going to get a beer and some fries, Lucky.
He wants to go take a nap.
No, you know, dude, the profanity thing started opening up doors that I didn't even think to walk through.
Yeah.
You know, I got a corporate gig out of it, two corporate gigs.
Well, if you can be funny without swearing, then why swear? I mean, swearing can be added as a punctuation point, but, and you know this too.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of it at times. Sometimes we swear just for the sake of swearing because it's just, it's a bridge word for us.
Yeah, it is. And there is punchlines that I use, like motherfucker on certain jokes or something like that, or fucking.
Yeah.
But, you know, my girl gave me a thesaurus, you know, and not that she's wanting me not to cuss, but, you know, I really do want to expand into, you know, that was Chris Titus told me that. He said that...
name-dropping over here.
Yeah, I know. I'm such a name-dropping whore. But he's the one that said, you know, you should work clean. I got to work with him, you know, a couple months ago here. And he goes, I caught you... he caught my first two sets on a Friday, right?
First of all,
he watched
cool
my
listening.
Fucking sets.
Yeah, exactly.
And he goes, you know, the first one you didn't cuss, but the second one you did. He goes, I understand it's the second show Friday. He goes, but you should try it without cussing. He goes, because you're very likable. And he goes, you could be like a Latin Sinbad, you know, in the crowd. You come off a little meaner when you cuss, which, okay, I could see that.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, fucking Titus, you know, I don't – I don't bother these headliners, you know what I mean? And he comes down and
he went out of his way. That's pretty cool.
And I was like, wow, you know. And so then I just started doing that, and then like doors opened up.
Yeah, there's only, you know, and there's certain bookers, we were talking about it before we got on the air here, that tell you, look, I don't want you cussing. And there's certain areas that I do a lot of comedy in where that's the case. And I've learned that a lot of the jokes that I use where I cuss, if I can rewrite them without the cussing, it still works.
It
Some
does.
Of them aren't as good, in my opinion, without the swear
word. Yeah, exactly. I'm finding that out.
I've only found one joke where I have to use fuck. And it has to do with the fact that I was shaving one day. Looking at me now, you wouldn't guess that. But I was shaving one day, and my daughter, she was two at the time, came up and literally looked at me and went, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh.
And, you know, and you can't change that joke.
Yeah,
you have to use the setup of the F word in order to even tell the joke, because the punchline is basically, you know, I don't know where the fuck she gets this, guys. It must be from her fucking cunt mother, you know. Obviously the joke being that she's clearly picking it up from me swearing too much. But other than that, I started kind of rewriting the old jokes, and it was like, yeah, I could do this pretty clean. And it's still funny. I mean, some of them I still would want to throw it in there just to be for that emphasis, but it doesn't have to be as much. And you're right, it opens up a lot of gigs.
You know that Toys for Tot one we did?
Yeah.
I just did my material and dropped the four-letter words that night. And they thought it was funny, you know, and I just was – it's weird. You know, you get up there and it's you can like really like edit yourself as you're going along.
Yeah.
You know, you're like you're doing your material, but your mind is already setting it up a little ahead of, you know, before the next joke.
Well, and you could read the room too. Sometimes you can get a little, I mean, I actually, we did that gig together. We were talking about it. We weren't supposed to swear. You're right. And I actually let it slip halfway through my set. And then when I got off.
I didn't really think about it at first.
And I got off the stage. I think I said dick.
Yeah.
And then
that's right.
I said, I tell dick jokes for a living.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And
off
I,
the
like,
bat.
As soon as I said, I'm like, I'm not supposed to say that. And then I got off stage and you're like, well, if you said dick, I'm going for the fucking jugular.
That's right.
So,
yeah, you know, Cox. I'm going to do Grandma Cocksucker. Yeah, I got to get that one out.
The floodgates opened up. So it sounds like May's going to be pretty popular.
Yeah.
May 1st at the Huddle, May 9th at...
May 9th at the Swinging Door in San Mateo. Then I'm doing the Fox Theater on the 7th, the day before Mother's Day.
Wow.
And that's like a big show. It's a big Tejano show. Tex-Mex music from Austin... These gals are from Austin, Texas. And then the big old Chicano Pride Festival at the Swiss Park Hall in Newark.
Newark,
Matter of fact, Storin and Chewy Cruz are doing that with me.
Yeah, the Swiss Park is actually Abel Jaramillo, who was in there earlier. We used to book shows there. It's a fun little place to do comedy.
I did that show. Remember the Fremont Comedy Bash?
Yeah.
Right? And Abel put the wrong date on the flyer, right? This is, you know,
I think I did that. I made all the flyers, so it might have been
me. He put the wrong date, and nobody showed, even though they sold like 140 tickets. Everybody was showing up for Saturday, and the show was on Friday.
That's right.
And so there was like, I brought three people from work, and there was like 12 Mexicans, two white guys, and then the comedians.
Wow.
And Cody goes up first, right? First Abel, and then Cody.
That's the one I didn't get to, actually.
Okay, yeah, Abel's the one that did that flyer,
No,
right?
I did the flyer, but I didn't get to go.
Oh, you did the flyer.
But yeah, he gave me the dates. So he's the one who gave me the dates. So it was his fucking fault. I was just I was following.
Yeah. It was cool. It was like, you know, whatever. That's comedy.
I'll throw my plugs out there. May 1st, I'll be at the Punchline in Sacramento.
Sweet.
May 26th, I believe it is. I'm going to be at Kirby's, where it all started for me in Fremont.
Kirby's.
Great room. July 10th. Speaking of Cobbs, I'll be back on the Cobbs stage in San Francisco, July 10th, as part of the summer comedy bash there. You can find all my tour dates on sammarcoux.com. You can find the entire catalog of Predictably Drunk on predictablydrunk.com. Find us on iTunes. Just search Sam Marcoux or search Predictably Drunk. Find us on there. Subscribe. Give us a rating, you fucks. I look at the stats. I know people are listening to the show, Mario.
Yeah.
It's not just you and I talking.
We have
an audience here. But they're not ranking the show. We need them to rank the show. I don't know how to get these people to go click 5 stars for me, but I need them to do
that. That's all you got
to
do. Even I did that when I listened to the Ellis show.
You just click it and go, awesome. So that's all you got to do, ladies and gentlemen. This is Smart People Talking About Stupid Things. My name is Sam Marcoux. I'm with Mario Montez right now. Mario, anything you want to say before we go storm
the
stage?
Hey, follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Mario the Butcher, or hit me up on Facebook, Mario A. Montez.
There he is.
It's been a pleasure.
Mario the Butcher, ladies and gentlemen. Until next time, keep drinking. Or don't, if you're Mario.
Have four for me.
All right, we'll keep drinking for Mario.
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, Smart People Talking About Stupid Things. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. And find the complete catalog on predictablydrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking.